This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
You bet. Let's do this. Welcome in Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, and the college football playoff. It is set, and a controversial Final Four will include number one Michigan, Washington, Texas comes in at number three, and how about the Alabama Crimson Tide after that big upset over Georgia in the SEC Conference title game? These four teams will be in the hunt for a national championship, and we have you covered over the next 2 hours, and we'll discuss. Also, in our first segment, we're going to highlight the Sooners as they will face Arizona in the Alamo Bowl on December 28th. But first, the Big E Sports Show, it is powered by Progressive. Did you know that drivers who switch and save with Progressive, they save nearly $700 on average? Go to progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We are always thrilled to have back with us from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. That's my guy, James Hale. How are you, Jay?
Good. Alissa, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
You're always great on the holidays. Have you started wearing your little Santa hat yet and things like that?
Well, I thought I was officially retired. I guess I'll have to pull that out of the attic, okay?
Oh, gosh, you got to, yes. And make sure you put those boots on, too. So.
All right. Well, listen, last week you were on our program, and as always, you're so spot on with your projections. You forecast that Oklahoma would face Arizona in the Alamo Bowl. But I want you to start off and weigh in on the movement that has taken place with the transfer portal. So Dylan Gabriel entered. He had 1 year of eligibility left. I mean, what was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, I wasn't really surprised. I mean, Dylan gave me no indication all year that he was going to be back at Oklahoma. I thought he was going pro. Yeah, I knew he had another year. I even mentioned it one time on my show that he has another year. But I even said then, but he won't be here at Oklahoma. I thought he would be going pro. I thought that, you know, I think he would have gotten drafted. And I think that, you know, actually, you watch some of the quarterback play. You watch that game last night, Dylan can play for those two guys. I know that. So those two teams. So anyway, you know, but when he announced, when Jeff Lebby went to Mississippi State, I think that's opened up some thinking by Dylan. And Dylan knew he wasn't coming back here. Dylan knew that all year they'd been getting Jackson Arnold ready to play. And Dylan was okay with that in 2024. Dylan and Jackson are even close. Dylan's a mentor. Jackson's the perfect backup quarterback in that he acknowledged, you know, he honored Dylan as a captain and Dylan as a leader of this football team. And he did everything he could and made sure that this team wasn't split at all. Dylan Gabriel was the starting quarterback. Jackson Arnold was the backup. But all year long, all Dylan has heard is that Jackson Arnold's going to be the quarterback next year and that Jackson Arnold's going to take OU into the SEC and all this and that. It was never Dylan Gabriel is going to take or Dylan could come back and take. And so I think it was just a foregone conclusion in Dylan's mind. It was going to be a 2-year deal at Oklahoma. Then Jeff Lebby left, and that sealed the deal that he wasn't going to come back to OU. And so he entered the transfer portal. Now he can do whatever he wants. If he wants to go to the NFL, he can. But he's visiting Oregon today, this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll visit Mississippi State, maybe USC too. And he's even said there's a chance he could play in the bowl game, which I find ludicrous, but, you know, he might, whatever. They might suit him up, but Jackson Arnold's going to be the starting quarterback, at least in camp, get ready to go to the bowl game. So it's not a major surprise. If you've been around Dylan, and I've been around him quite a bit, he just never gave any indication he'd be back at OU next year, and he's not going to be.
CBS Sports Radio Network out of Oklahoma City, James Hale with us at Sports Map Radio. What a great way to kick off our program. And my lead question is, you know, asking about your reaction to the news. What about head coach Brent Venables? What did he share?
Well, Brent doesn't really. Yesterday, he's at the, let's see, 2 days ago, you know, he was at the Valero Alamo Bowl press conference. This is something they do. And, you know, Bob Stoops was there 2 years ago, and he was there with Jed Fish, the coach at Arizona. And Brent just didn't shed any light on it. He didn't shed any light on whether or not Danny Stutzman was coming back or not either. You know, and so, you know, he just said that, you know, everything with Dylan's a work in progress and that they'll work with Dylan to do what Dylan wants to do. And so if Dylan wants to go to the bowl game and be a part of the bowl trip, I think OU would be okay with it. You know, even if he commits to Oregon or even if he commits somewhere else, you know, they'll let him finish his tenure at OU. I just don't think he's going to be the starting quarterback in the game. As far as Stutzman goes, there was a report that Stutzman is going pro, but that wasn't from Stutzman, and Stutzman hasn't said anything about his status or whether or not he's going to play in the game. And Billy Bowman, who's also considering going pro as a junior, has said that he will play in the game, and then he'll make his decision after that. I don't think Bowman is going to go anywhere. His girlfriend, Jada Coleman, has one more year to play softball, and the timing just doesn't add up to me. And you know how those love triangles work, I just don't think he's going to bust it up, even though he's going to say, honey, I'm going to go make some money. And she's going, we've got NIL, we're making money now. You know how that goes. So anyway, they probably have more money now than they ever had when they were betting junior high or high school, right? So yeah. Anyway, you know, so this is kind of an interesting time. It's such a turbulent time in college football all across the country. Everybody's dealing with transfers, guys going pro. No team seems to be the same team going to a bowl game outside of the Final Four. And when this stretches to 12 games next year, I think it's going to be really interesting. Let's say you're the 11th seed out of that 12-team seed, but you're a player and you found out that you're going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Is that player still going to play, or team, you know, good old college you, or is he going to opt out because he doesn't think as a team they have a great chance? Maybe they've lost two games already, but they got into the playoff, and he doesn't believe they have a great chance to win it all. I don't know. I'm just hyperboiling here. But when I talk to players today, they don't care as much about playing in the bowl game, even though some really want to play in it because they just love playing for old team, old college U. But, you know, it's usually not that elite player, and no team is the same. Heck, Ohio State, they lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah, Kyle McCord.
I mean, this guy was a sophomore, a freshman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. He enters the transfer portal. What? Really? Okay. You know, and so that's happened to a couple of teams. It just doesn't make any sense. But most teams are now, you know, searching for a new quarterback to play in the bowl game. Oklahoma, in their case, had one ready-made, and they kind of knew Jackson Arnold might be in this spot, and he is, and they're okay with it.
So, James, are you surprised by the amount of quarterbacks that are looking to transfer, as we were just discussing, you know, Dylan Gabriel, and you mentioned Ohio State's Kyle McCord, even Duke's Riley Leonard?
Yeah, there's so many quarterbacks, DJ Uiagalelei and all those guys. You know, I mean, there's so many quarterbacks, Ward in the portal. Well, am I surprised by it? No, because this happens every year. This seems to be what is going on. Two things are driving it, in that most quarterbacks believe is, you know, they may be, no matter what school they're at right now, that they can maybe make more bank through the NIL at a new school. That's part of the negotiation. All right, I'll come to school you if you'll give me X amount of dollars in NIL money. And apparently, according to Coach Rule at Nebraska, this is going on in the transfer portal. And if you want to transfer a portal quarterback, it's $1 to $2 million. Now, I know that's Big E's range and what she's making there, but, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly. I've never really thought about that, and I've never seen a football player at OU with that kind of cash. I don't see the players with the Porsches and the BMWs anymore in the OU parking lot. I just don't. And they have more money than they ever have, supposedly, but I don't think it's the, you know, the $1 million, the $2 million range. I just know a young man that was able to do that would be driving a Beamer or something. Mm-hmm. He'd be getting him something, right? So I would think, right? You know, so anyway. But that's supposedly the going rate, and so everybody's jumping out there. I couldn't believe McCord did it at Ohio State. I'm the quarterback at Ohio State University, and I'm going to jump in the transfer portal. Where am I going to play that's better than there? You know, there's only one or two programs, and they have quarterbacks. You know, so it's a crazy time. It really is. The transfer portal's a crazy time. And am I surprised by it? No, because it seems to be what we're doing every year. But I'm always surprised by the names that do enter the transfer portal.
So we hit on the transfer portal, yeah. You know, and let's talk about who is perhaps that Oklahoma's planning on moving ahead. And, of course, Jackson Arnold, he's a true freshman out of what, Denton, Texas, a five-star recruit, National Gatorade Player of the Year following his senior year in high school. What do we need to know about him?
Well, he's an incredible athlete. He's got a great arm. He's 6'1". He's 216 pounds. He's bigger than Dylan. He's a really good runner as well as a thrower. He can make all the throws. He's got a huge arm. He can make throws with incredible velocity. You know, one of the early games, he was so juiced up about playing that he overthrew a wide open guy 60 yards downfield because he threw it 75 yards.
Wow.
On one hand, you could say, wow, you know, he missed a wide open receiver. I was going, he just threw it 75 yards. I mean, it's just, that's the kind of arm that he has. And soon he'll get the timing down with all those receivers. Athletically and from a pure quarterback standpoint, he's better than Dylan. He's going to be better than most quarterbacks he goes up against. He's just an incredible talent. And then his ability to run, he's a 4-5 guy. He's got good strength. He's instinctive. He's competitive. He's just a really, really good player. And, you know, you watch him all year, and you can watch all the quarterbacks throw at OU, and OU's got some good arms in that quarterback room. None better than Jackson Arnold, and he'll have the best arm they've had since, I don't know, Sam Bradford or Jason White.
The College Football Conversation continues with CBS Sports Radio Network's James Hale after this quick break.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the huddle with James Hale. Oklahoma's planning on moving ahead, and of course, Jackson Arnold, he's a true freshman out of what, Denton, Texas, a five-star recruit, National Gatorade Player of the Year following his senior year. You shed some light on his skill set, but what about his personality? Have you had a chance to go one-on-one with him, Jay?
Oh, he's a great guy. I mean, you know, he's a quarterback, true and true. He's a leader. He's good with the media. He's good in the public. He's exactly what you want in a quarterback in every single way. He just hasn't really done it yet on the field. Now, in the first game he ever played, he went for 11 for 11. You can't get better than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through two touchdown passes, and then they kind of put him in a running game set like the Belldozer back in the day. And, you know, he was okay at that, but they threw one pass with him, and it was incompletion. And so that didn't really work out for him. Then they were going to redshirt him, and then Dylan got concussed, against BYU, and they had to put him in. And he did great in the second half. He helped OU rally to win that game, and he made a key check into a pass that got him a first down to Farouk late in that game. And so he shows all the intangibles of being a great quarterback. He was great meeting with us after the game. He's, like I said, great with the media. You know, he's got his best buddy, Peyton Bowen, on the team.
Oh, yeah.
They tell jokes about each other.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's got a real strong family. There's not a negative at all. Any negative I can think of about Jackson, he's just got to go prove it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some really good quarterbacks at OU. The bar's set pretty high. How good you have to be at OU to be a great quarterback. I mean, I can go back to even, you know, Jack Mildren and those guys back in the Wishbone days. But Jimmy Harris never lost a game in the 1950s. So, you know, you can go back and look at all these great quarterbacks, and so the bar is really high for Jackson, but he looks like he's got the talent to try to get there.
CBS Sports Radio Network, James Hale out of Oklahoma City with us. James, we want to pause and have you connect with our national audience. Where can they go and subscribe to Patreon?
Just Google James Hale, Die Hard, Sooner Report. You'll get 3 to 5 short podcasts a day. I'll always talk OU football, always talk, you know, OU recruiting. Then I'll get into the other sports. We'll talk recruiting in the other sports, too, and we'll get into it. And for a small stipend, you can get the great, you know, all the Sooner news you're looking for, and you can get it all within 15 minutes.
Well, we have you on the program this afternoon. We wanted you to weigh in on the College Football Playoff Committee's decision to leave Florida State out. Did you agree or disagree? Help us unpack the Florida State snub.
Well, I think it sucks, but I agree with the decision if you're trying to get the best four teams in the College Football Playoff. If you're going to do the right thing, you're going to put Florida State in there. They're undefeated. They don't look as good without Jordan Travis than they did without, you know, with Jordan Travis, and they don't have him now. But they've got a wonderful defense, a great coaching staff, and they figured out a way to win two more games, one against Florida that's not very good, and one against Louisville that was ranked, what, 11th in the country, I think, when they played them. And, you know, reportedly came into the game with a pretty good offense, and the Florida State defense totally shut them down. So you can win games a different way, and I realize that. And it would have been hard for me, if I'm on the committee, to not put Florida State in it. It came down to Florida State and Alabama, and if you don't put Alabama in it, you don't have a team in the SEC. It would have been hard for me not to put a team in the SEC, which traditionally, at least in the last few years, has been the strongest league. Now, this year, the SEC hasn't been as strong, so I could have been okay with it this year. I mean, Alabama did lose to Texas earlier in the year. But I think at the end of the year, when you look at it, I mean, Georgia really, Georgia got beat in the at the worst time. Yeah. They got beat in the SEC championship, but they are one of the elite teams in college football. If you want the top four teams, Georgia's got to be in there too. But you're not going to put them in because Alabama beat them late. But I guarantee, I think Georgia could beat any other team you know, that they would play. They just didn't beat Alabama that day. So I feel for Florida State. I think it sucks that you can go undefeated, win a conference championship, and you don't get into the college football playoff. And that's why we should have had a 12-team playoff 4 or 5 years ago, when they could have done it. They talked about ties and, you know, contracts and all this and that, when they were able to break it, early, when television finally stepped up and said, no, we want a 12-team and we don't support college football. And, you know, all these rules that come up late are frustrating me, because we could have had the 12-team playoff set up 3 or 4 years ago if everybody would have just got after it. And it's too bad we don't. And because we don't have it, Florida State's not going bowling, neither is Georgia, and both those teams deserve to go. But, hey, it was worse back in the day, right? I mean, back in the day, when you and I were in school, you know, the AP picked it or the UPI picked it, and we didn't even play for games. And then we had, you know, the BCS, and you only had two teams in it. Well, four teams is better than two teams. And 12 teams will be better than four. That will be a really, really neat thing when you have four playoff games coming up. And it would probably be not this week, next week on the schedule when you have those games.
Well, the 12-team college football playoff couldn't come soon enough, as you had just mentioned. I just have to wonder, how will the criteria change?
I don't know if the criteria will change. They're going to take the four conference champions, and I don't know what's going on out west yet. You know, I don't know if the Mountain West becomes the Pac-12, and do they get an automatic bid? I don't know how that works. You're going to have those four teams. Then you're going to have, the six or seven at large berths. And then you're going to have a Power 5 team that's also going to be in it. And that's going to be the criteria how you're going to do it. I don't think anything changes as far as how you get in. I think then, but who are the top four teams I think should get byes? Then you'd have, you know, eight teams and four games play in the playoffs, and then, you know, you move on and that kind of thing. But that's how I want to see it. I think they are going to give byes. I can't remember if it's four or two games or two teams that are going to get them. But, you know, if you are a higher rated team, that should give you the benefit of getting a bye early. And that way, that's the one incentive that you have with continuing to play well and play well late and play well in your conference championship game to get the best seed so you get that bye.
Hey, we are winding down our time. CBS Sports Radio, James Hale with us. Just a few more minutes. And is this the year that Jim Harbaugh finally wins the national title? Who you got?
No, I think he's actually going to lose to Alabama. I think that's why they matched him up with Alabama in some ways. It's been a weird year for Michigan in many ways. You know, you admire the fact that they've overcome the fact that their head coach was not on the sideline for six games, and they still won all those games that he didn't. He wasn't on the sideline. The sign scandal is, I kind of laugh at it because I know everybody's stealing signs all the time.
Right.
You know, if he really sent somebody, then he should have been punished because you can't do that within NCAA rules. He says he doesn't know anything about it. Sometimes I understand how a head coach doesn't know something that's going on in the bowels of his program because they're so insulated from it and they're counting on personnel to handle some of that stuff. But I don't know. Jim just seems to be a guy that knows a lot about a lot of things that he just doesn't want to talk about. And, you know, and it's just crazy. And I'm going to root for Alabama in that game probably. I'm not really a big Michigan fan. But Alabama's offense is so diverse. And Milroe is such a talented player. And how about a guy like him that got so much better throughout the year? And Nick Saban's team, even though they got their butt whipped against Texas, they've come back. They've improved every single week. They were lucky against Auburn, but teams have to be lucky sometimes to win a game in college football. And they were able to pull it off. They had the skill set to go and do it. And I just think that they'll open up that Michigan defense. And I'm not sure Michigan's offense, which is relying on the run so much, and with J.J. McCarty, he's a good player, and I know the pros love him, you know, but I just like Michigan. I just like Alabama here to take it to Michigan, and it's going to be because their offense is so diverse, and it's going to be tough for Michigan to handle that.
Hey, James, we've only got about 60 seconds as we wrap up our conversation. Give us a quick hit on the Alamo Bowl, and what do we need to know about this matchup?
Well, Arizona's really good. You know, they've lost three games, but they have a top 25 defense. They have an offense that's 15th in the country. Statistically, they're better placed than OU. OU's got a better overall roster, you know, but the 22, you know, again, you don't have Gabriel, your best offensive player. You may not have Stutzman, your best defensive player. I still think OU is a better team, and somehow OU will win the game. But they're going to be in a game. Fala is a really good quarterback at Arizona. It's going to be interesting. Jackson Arnold in his first start, how's he going to play? You don't know. You hope he's great. You know, but I like Oklahoma to win this game, but it's going to be a great game. It's going to be one of the better bowl games of the bowl season.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch. Check him out, James Hale, CBS Sports Radio Network. Enjoy the Heisman presentation tonight on ESPN, and we'll catch up here real soon. Thank you so much, James.
Anytime, E. See ya.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Welcome back on this Saturday. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, and at Progressive, we are making things even easier and will help you bundle your home, car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Indeed, it is time to hoop it up, and we always love talking some NBA news and notes. Big weekend as the inaugural in-season tournament championship is tonight in Las Vegas, and we're looking so forward to visiting with our next guest. Always thrilled to have back with us from SiriusXM NBA Radio, and you can also tune him in on Mad Dog, and that's our guy, Mitch Lawrence. Hello, Mitch.
Alyssa, how are you? Always great to be on the show. How you been? Okay? You love this in-season tournament or what?
Hey, I do love the in-season tournament. It kind of feels like it's almost, you know, like we're in the month of May. So what are your thoughts? I actually wanted to ask you that. I mean, help us understand what it's all about, and are you a fan?
Yeah, you know what the in-season tournament used to be called? The regular season.
Uh-huh.
When back in the day when the players used to care about playing in regular season games, there were certain games where you circled the date. In Dallas in the 80s, when I was covering the Mavs for the Dallas Morning News, Alyssa, circle of the date games were when Irvin Johnson, Kareem, and James Worthy came in with the Lakers, or when Akeem came in with the Rockets. I know, you know, when Sacramento came on, there was no buzz. Back then, they stunk. They were awful. When I was up in New York at the Daily News in the 90s, guess what? When the Knicks had circle of the date games, it was Michael Jordan, right? And when Washington came in, you can get tickets easily. So here's what I'm looking at here. These, for people who think that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, just remember, when players superstars really treated the regular season like you knew they would, like every game was a must-win, guys like Michael Jordan and all the iconic players, you had these big showdown regular season games. And that's what now the in-season tournament is, so it's great. I know it's different. It's not a, you know, back then it wasn't actually a tournament, but it had that feel. The arenas were electric when you had the big showdown games. And if you happen to be stuck in Washington or Sacramento, you were just hoping for, you know, getting a great player who you can make your team relevant. So I love it. I think it's great. It's what the league had to do. You know, it's kind of a sad commentary, Alyssa. The league had to kind of dress up and doll up their regular season and get the players invested again. But this thing has worked. We've seen some great games leading up to the finals. We've seen an Indiana team that nobody really knew much about all of a sudden explode on the scene with Tyrese Halliburton, who's now everybody's favorite player, and all these people are saying, you know, he shouldn't have been drafted 12th. He should have been drafted higher. So it is great. I mean, it's something that, listen, now you can say it was overdue for the league, but they had to address the problem of the players taking regular season games off and not caring about the regular season. So, you know, if you have to put a $500,000 little carrot in front of players to get them to take the regular season seriously in some of these games, good for the league. I'm glad they did it.
Mitch, you give us your verdict and you find it compelling to watch. I just kind of have to wonder, you know, what's been kind of the chatter or the talk amongst the players? Because in training camp, LeBron was asked about it and he kind of shrugged his shoulders, but he obviously has had a very strong performance. And listen, like he legitimized the tournament, so he's playing great.
You know, his semifinal game was one for the ages, for him especially. I mean, my God, we are close to, you know, another birthday for LeBron. Was going to be 39 in a couple of weeks, his 21st season, and the way he just obliterated New Orleans and playing basically, you know, not even three quarters of the game. I mean, with a plus 36, plus minus, and guys like Zion and the Pelicans, they were not competitive. It's like they weren't ready for the moment. But for LeBron, you know, I think he looks at this as another thing to add to his belt. Now, they're, you know, I know there are people out there who think that, well, you know, by doing this, it's going to help his cause for being the greatest of all time. No, it's not. I mean, I'm not going to hold it against Michael Jordan that he didn't play in an in-season tournament, because back then Michael Jordan was playing in these regular season games and treating most of them like they were in-season tournament games. But for LeBron, hey, he admitted, Alyssa, that, you know what? There's a $500,000 reward per player if you win it all, and as much money as he's made on the court and off the court, basically enough to where he's going to be buying a team when he's done, probably in Las Vegas, you know, getting a team there. I mean, LeBron is still looking at it as that's a great carrot for all the players. So, yeah, I mean, they stuck that incentive. I wish there were some sort of other goal, other thing, other, you know, what's the term I'm looking for? There was something else that the teams could get out of it besides players getting money. Could the teams get, I'm not saying that, you know, if you win the championship, you get yourself a playoff spot. Well, you know, there's something else, maybe an extra draft pick in the second round.
Incentivize, yeah.
But that's something, the incentive, right? That's something that the league has to work on, because it's nice for the players to make a ton of money if you win. But also, it should be something that the team should get something, you know, rewarded for them. And we'll see how the league treats that down the line. But for LeBron, this, I don't think it can enhance his GOAT status. If you think he's the GOAT, I don't think it's GOAT. I think Michael is, or somebody else may, or probably Michael. Yeah. But you know what he needs to, forget about the in-season tournament, he needs to win the June tournament again, which he hasn't really done except for that bubble for the Lakers. He's only got three championships plus the bubble, making four. For him to enhance his reputation, and it's getting real late because he's getting, you know, to the point where he's going to have to retire soon. He's got to win another couple of championships, you would think, real championships this time.
Well, so what are you saying? I mean, are the Lakers, are they good enough to win an NBA title this year? What do you think?
Well, is Jokic going anywhere in Denver?
Right.
I mean, I still look at that team as the team to beat. I thought going into the season, like, look, the Lakers are like every other team in basketball. They have no answer for Nikola Jokic. And that's the problem. And usually when a team is like that, with that type of player, who doesn't come along very often, but we've seen his likes in the past in terms of how he can deliver now in the playoffs, and they won their first title last year, so they've got that championship DNA. I just think it's going to be hard for the Lakers or anybody else to knock them off. And by the way, I think the Lakers have a decent, you know, I I don't want to say a decent chance. I mean, it all depends, obviously, on the health of LeBron and what Anthony Davis can give him. He's so unreliable. But I look at some of these young teams, Alyssa, who are off to a great start. I know they haven't won anything yet, and it's early in the regular season. But, man, if you look at Minnesota and the job they're doing, and you look at a team like Oklahoma City, which in the future looks, oh, my gosh, I saw them give up a 30-0 run to the Dallas Mavericks not that long ago, and they actually came back and won the game, which is unheard of. That's how much in a very – you talk about playoff atmosphere that night in Dallas. That arena was jumping like you've never seen it since when they went deep in the playoffs a couple of years ago, Dallas. And the great thing for Oklahoma City, they never lost their composure. They ended the game on a 15-3 run and was like that 30-0 run never happened. So there are a couple of teams besides the Lakers. The Lakers have to worry about besides, you know, everybody's picking Phoenix in the West because of their big three. So the Lakers are in, you know, this is not the Eastern Conference. It's deeper, it's better, and there are going to be more challenges. So I just don't know if the Lakers can win.
SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. The countdown is on for the NBA inaugural in-season tournament championship tonight in Las Vegas, 8:30 Eastern time on ABC and ESPN2 with the Lakers and the Pacers. And so what have the Pacers shown us? They are the third youngest team in the NBA, and Rick Carlisle has done a fantastic job.
They've shown us Tyrese Halliburton. You know who he is?
Oh, yeah.
Kings fans remember. They traded him for Domantas Sabonis, and a lot of people went nuts back then. But I think you're seeing why people had a problem with that deal. Kings fans, although the Kings have been, you know, on the upward trajectory since. But listen, he looks like he's the real deal. He's emerged in these. I mean, the back-to-back games he played against Boston and against Milwaukee, who's supposed to be the cream of the crop, really the top two teams in the East, and to put in games where he has a zillion assists and no turnovers, which is only like in consecutive games, only the fourth time it's happened in the history of the league. And he's done it twice himself. I think, you know, John Lucas and Jason Williams did it years ago. He's a phenomenal player. 12th pick overall in his draft.
Wow.
It's amazing that Bob Myers, he used to run Golden State. They had the second pick overall in that draft a few years ago. They took James Wiseman. Now Bob Myers, you saw the interview, I hope you did, where he talked about, you know, we went to his workout,
yeah.
Steve Kerr, myself, Joe Lacob, and we were like, wow, he can make shots. He's doing all the things you see on the court. But afterwards, he said, really messed up was they knew from his interview he was just going to be a tremendous player who other great players wanted to play with. And as Bob pointed out, you know, there are great players in this league. Use your imagination who other players don't want to play with. But Tyrese is a guy you do, a great player who other players want to play with. And that's what Indiana thinks that they have going forward, which is a huge thing for a team that, let's face it, Rick Carlisle, you know Rick, I know Rick, I've known Rick for years. Rick Carlisle said a lot of people didn't want us to be here. No, Rick. People don't even pay attention to the Pacers. You're irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have a, you know, they couldn't care less if you were there or not. You weren't even on anybody's radar. Now you're on their radar because Tyrese Halliburton is leading a bunch of young players, and it looks like they've got a foundation set in Indiana where they can add to that in the future. I still don't know if big-time players or free agents want to go to play in Indianapolis, or they're going to have to do it through the draft, but it looks like they've got a nice core led by a player who, once again, he didn't go first or second or third overall. He went deep in the lottery, 12th overall pick. And now he looks like he's a steal.
Hey, good stuff. The countdown is on for the NBA inaugural in-season tournament, the Lakers and the Pacers in Las Vegas, 8:30 Eastern time on ABC. Always a true pleasure when we have the opportunity to catch up with SiriusXM NBA Radio. He is the best, and that is Mitch Lawrence. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Alyssa. Great to talk.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
You bet. The college football conversation continues right here at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Well, right now, we're going to pivot. We're going to head out to the Big Ten Conference and focus on the Wisconsin Badgers as they are set to meet the 13th ranked team in the country. And that, of course, is LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl. on New Year's Day in Tampa. Always delighted to welcome back Phil Longo, a 34-year coaching veteran and in his first season as the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for the Badgers. Hello, Phil. How are you?
How are you doing today? I appreciate the invite.
Hey, it's good to have you back on, and we're going to lead off our conversation and just get your takeaways on how the season has played out and just how excited are you and the Badgers for this upcoming matchup in the Sunshine State as Wisconsin will take on LSU for the season finale.
Oh, we're excited. I mean, it's a great opportunity for our program. You know, anytime you have an opportunity to extend the season and get in some workouts that help us get better as they lead up into the bowl game on January 1st. Obviously, we're excited about playing on New Year's Day, and you know, it's an incredible challenge with the opponent that we have in LSU, and we're looking forward to it.
So, Phil, let's talk about this incredible challenge. I mean, what do we need to know about the matchup, and just how motivated is this team about this kind of unexpected opportunity?
Well, I think we have been progressing all year. We've overcome maybe more injuries in the season than I've ever experienced. And we've gotten ourselves to a point where we finished the season with some momentum.
Right.
And we are, you know, this team is very focused and excited about playing in the bowl game against LSU. And I think, you know, we're going to kick off practice tomorrow. And I look forward to watching our guys take the field on New Year's Day.
Our very special guest, offensive coordinator, the quarterbacks coach for Wisconsin, Phil Longo, with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And when we talk about the Badgers, what a tremendous opportunity to not only finish the season the right way against a quality opponent, but you know what, Phil, for these younger players, I mean, they can prove a lot on a nationally televised stage.
Well, you know, I always think back to Josh Downs, a star slot receiver that we had at North Carolina, who was progressing and getting better as the year went on, and you know, was behind two really, really special receivers. And then as we got into the bowl season, we went to the Orange Bowl against Texas A&M, and you know, he was forced into a starting role that I think he was actually ready for, but he kind of exploded on the scene and had a huge game and scored two touchdowns and had over 100 yards receiving. And, you know, he went on the next two seasons to catch 196 balls, and now he's the starting slot at the Indianapolis Colts. So
wow.
Those games provide tremendous opportunities for players. We have a few young guys that will get opportunities in our bowl game, and so you just look to see who's going to be the next new exciting guy on the scene.
Well, and you know, too, you often hear that bowl games can sometimes feel a little meaningless. This is a very meaningful game, and in many ways, as I hear you saying, it can kind of set the tone for next season, and you can take care of some unfinished business and end on a high note. Momentum's beautiful, right?
Yeah, I would say the way things are done around here under the leadership of Luke Fickell, and the way our players address everything, we could be in any bowl game and we would take it seriously because that's the mindset of our program. But this is a great bowl and this is a great opponent and it's a great opportunity. And so we're getting ready to start preparing tomorrow. Can't wait for it. And like I said, I'm just very, very excited to watch, the final piece of the season on January 1st with these guys, and I'm excited for them because it'll be the last time that this team at Wisconsin under Luke Fickell ever plays football together.
Well, let's talk about your quality opponent in LSU and give us the scouting report on Jaden Daniels as he's looking to become the third Tiger to win the Heisman tonight, joining quarterback Joe Burrow and Billy Cannon. I mean, Phil, you have truly coached some of the best in the game. Give us your evaluation on Jaden and what impresses you the most about him.
No, he's special. I mean, he throws the ball well, and he sees the field well. And then you add to that, you know, this incredible athletic ability. You know, it's interesting watching him on film. He's dropping back to throw the ball. There's an obvious spy defender on the defensive side of the ball, a very good athlete in his own right in a number of these games that is there simply to mirror Jaden and keep him from running all over the defense. And Jaden will take off, and that player will take off, and they will meet within 2-3 yards of the line of scrimmage, and then Jaden makes him look silly anyway, and he goes and he gets his yards. He's such an incredible athlete. When you tack that onto his ability to execute at the quarterback position, there's a reason why he's being regarded and voted on as one of the best players in college football.
Phil Longo back with us, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach at Wisconsin. And let's get your view on the Badgers offense. Certainly one of the big storylines is that the Badgers will be without what their top running back in Braylon Allen, that he has declared himself eligible for the 24 NFL draft. So who will you turn to and how do you compensate for that loss? Because those are some considerable shoes to fill.
Well, there are a few guys in that room that will all contribute to game day.
Okay.
You know, it's hard when you lose a player with the production that Braylon Allen had. And, you know, you can't do that. So what we'll do is we'll utilize and emphasize the talents that we have and put the game plan together, knowing that Braylon is not a part of it. You know, this is a part of the business and a part of the sport now. Isn't the first time we've gone through dealing with opt-outs. And obviously we are super proud of Braylon and his accomplishments and want to see him go on to have a wonderful career in the NFL. And then at the same time, we've got to refocus and put a game plan together, utilizing the talents that we have here. And we're going to put a game plan together and attack in the game against LSU with, you know, the team that we take the field with. So happy for Braylon on his side, and we have to keep moving forward as a program on ours.
Well, one of the talents that we've got to shine a spotlight on, of course, is your quarterback, Tanner Mordecai, and he certainly had some twists and turns through the season. You alluded to it just a moment ago, talking about some of the injuries that you guys have had to endure. How did Tanner fight through and respond to that adversity when he went down, what, in that game against Iowa in the month of October?
Well, he has played exceptionally well, assumed a leadership role here very early on. He's one of the more mentally and physically tough quarterbacks I've had the pleasure of coaching. And, you know, he's actually, in the 8 games that he has played, we are 6-2.
Wow.
And the games that he didn't play were due to him breaking a metacarpal bone in his right throwing hand, which happened when it came down on top of a helmet. And so, you know, the prognosis was he was going to be 8 to 10 weeks out and would probably miss the remainder of the season. And within 3.5 weeks, he was back to rehabbing and throwing the ball. 5 weeks later, he's back on the field as a starting quarterback. Really just a tough deal. And people don't know this behind the scenes, but every throw was painful, you know, and it really came down to bone healing while he was stressing that bone throwing the ball. And so it just became a pain tolerance thing. And because of his toughness and his desire to want to help his team win and his competitiveness, he was able to take the field after 4.5-5 weeks and go back out there and play. Obviously, very positively impact our team. I just can't say enough about Tanner Mordecai.
Phil Longo with us a few more minutes. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. We were just talking about his quarterback, Tanner Mordecai. This is the guy that you all have leaned into and relied on. And Phil, this is your first season at Wisconsin. Just talk about how difficult it is to implement a brand new scheme and playbook in your first year, let alone in the middle of a season you're dealing with significant injuries and key players.
Well, I think you know going in that you're making a transition, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't try to force feed an offense to a roster that maybe it's not equipped to run it. And so you've got to make some accommodations, which we did. And so, you know, we've gone through this first year, this transition year, and we've made progress, and we're not where we want to be, but we're headed where we want to go. And I think there are always obstacles. You know, everybody experiences injuries. We had a high amount of them, and you deal with it, and you plug in the next guy, and you move on. And that's how this locker room has dealt with it, and that's how this team will always deal with it. And so I think we're at a point now where we're excited to be going to the bowl game with LSU. Gives us a little time maybe to heal and get a little bit healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to it. We're excited about the opportunity.
Hey, we are winding down our time. Offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach with Wisconsin, that is Phil Longo. And how about that win over Minnesota as the Badgers were able to reclaim Paul Bunyan's axe from rival Minnesota? So talk to me. I mean, obviously, we're familiar with rivalries down here at the Big 12 Conference, but what is that like being in Minnesota and the Badgers going at it?
Well, it's a very heated rivalry. It's something that we talked about early on, probably didn't meet a booster or a big fan without hearing about how important that game was.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought our guys did a phenomenal job of preparing. We had some young guys step up in that game and take care of business. We played very well and led by Tanner and on offense and Hunter Wohler on defense. And they did what they needed to do. We played a clean game and a physical game, and we were able to come home with a good solid win against Minnesota.
Yeah, and I watched that press conference with head coach Luke Fickell, and he was just so proud of the heart, the grit, the soul of the team, and what they were able to do and execute. Well, always a true pleasure when he drops by. That's Phil Longo, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach at Wisconsin. Give him a follow on social media, at Coach Phil Longo, and good luck on New Year's Day against those LSU Tigers, okay?
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the invite. Y'all have a good weekend.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.